Window World, the official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs, presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues online at windowskansascity.com.
As the story in Uvalde, Texas continues to evolve, it certainly does not get any better or any less tragic or sad in so many ways. On Wednesday, I was honored to speak at the Olathe Rotary Club meeting at the beautiful Olathe Library on 135th Street, and it dominated the conversation there, not just in my comments, but in the Q&A. I mean, certainly we talked about sports and some other things, but this is a dedicated group of great Americans. Rotarians are just fantastic people, and Rotary Clubs are, they're just terrific. There was a wide variety of people there. One gentleman used to be a Top Gun pilot. Was at Miramar in the 70s. We had some people that worked for Senator Moran were there. There were other people certainly that were Democrats and didn't like some of the things maybe that I had to say. But everyone in the room was in complete agreement that we have to stop school shootings. And there was nobody hard right, hard left on the Second Amendment, gun stances, things like that. I think what I'm learning about the Second Amendment is that a large number of American people, a majority of American people, believe in the Second Amendment. They support it. But within that large group, it is something like the abortion issue. You have small groups of people on the very far right and on the very far left that take this issue to an extreme. They become hardened. I didn't sense anybody in the room yesterday was that. And I didn't speak with every single person, and not everybody asked questions. But I didn't see anybody on the right that wasn't willing to say, look, we need more stringent background tests, or a longer waiting period, or a special permit for an AR-15 style rifle, some sort of a different test or different classification of owning this weapon. You have the right to own it, but there is something a little more stringent that you have to pass. I didn't sense that there was anybody in that room that wouldn't be willing to do that. If it were legal for someone legitimately that wants this weapon for personal defense, security, whatever it may be, that they can't have it. But that there needs to be a stronger, much stronger hurdle to cross as a gun owner than just going out on your 18th birthday and buying two of them and all these magazines that go with them and shooting up a school. There has to be some better way. So that is the right and people on the right not conceding anything. I think it's just in their heads. There were all kinds of people that gave examples. You have the right to drive a car anytime you want, but you don't have the right to drive it dangerously to harm others. If you drive a big truck out on the open road, you need a special license for that. It could be more dangerous. It's a different level of driving. It's different than my mom, who drives two blocks to Walmart once a week, and that's it. That within something like the Second Amendment or gun ownership, there are different levels. I'm open to that. That may disappoint a lot of you, but I'm open to that. I'm open to that. I don't think these guns should be illegal. I don't think people shouldn't be able to own them. I think there are lots of good reasons to own weapons like this. But I don't think an 18-year-old kid should be able to just go get them on his 18th birthday without a little more due diligence, a better system that checks that. So that would be people on the right saying, okay, we want this situation to be better. And I think there are plenty of people like that. And I sensed that there were a lot in the room in Olathe yesterday. I couldn't identify who the Democrats were or the liberals were, but there were no hard left, no far left. There was no Beto O'Rourke moment. We'll get to Beto O'Rourke in a moment. There was none of that. You just didn't hear that. But this is where the discourse in this country always falls apart. This is where we can't do something for the common good. And I'm willing to place the blame here. I know where the blame belongs. It always, I'm telling you, it always belongs on the far left. They may hate the NRA. The NRA gun lobby, or whatever you want to call it, is a fraction of what the pharmaceutical lobby is, what we just went through with COVID. This is nothing. The amount of money the NRA spends or the gun lobby is a fraction of all these other issues, the abortion issue or things like that. It's a tiny little thing, but they are obsessed with it. The people on the hard left are obsessed with it. And it literally feels like they cannot wait for one of these events to happen so they can jump on it and try to gain political points. I mentioned yesterday on the podcast that I believe America is moving toward more gun control or more restrictions on what it is that you can buy or how difficult it may be for you to get something. That maybe you have to pass a psychological exam. I don't know. I'm never going to claim to have the answers. I do know that the more this happens and the more the left screams, the more Americans move toward the middle and say, we think there needs to be more regulation on these weapons. I do not think America is going to get to a point where the majority of citizens say, weapons are illegal, you can't own them. I don't think that's coming. I don't think we're anywhere near that. People believe in the Second Amendment. Gun ownership is actually way down in this country. It is down almost 12 percentage points of the people that own guns in America today is 12 points lower than it was 40 years ago. Nobody talks about that. It's actually a smaller number. I think I fit, and some of the people that I know fit into this category, that their dad had a gun. My dad had a gun. It wasn't much. It was like a .22 rifle. He had a gun in the house. It was always in a case. It was up on the wall. I never saw him take it down. He wasn't really a hunter, but it was there. I always saw it. Never came out, but it was there. And because he never really took me hunting or I got into guns, I don't have guns. I'm not supposed to say that on the podcast. You know, whatever. Maybe I do. Maybe I don't. But the gun ownership is actually down in this country. The percentage of people that have guns is down. Now, it's gone gangbusters the last few years of people arming themselves, taking training, and putting something in their home for safety, as we've seen the mayhem that we have in this country. But it's the left that goes too far. It's the left that will not allow America to breathe and fathom, try to get their minds around 8, 9, and 10-year-old kids being slaughtered by an AR-15 style rifle in a locked classroom because he basically came in and closed the door and killed them all, and then barricaded himself. There's a lot of controversy out there. Our parents saying, hey, the cops took forever to go in, all this other stuff. This guy did not go on a rampage through the school. He could have killed more. He went into a classroom, got them all, and then barricaded himself and waited. Maybe we'll learn more. Maybe they could have gone in earlier. Maybe something should have been done. But I don't think there was any saving anyone in that classroom. And that gunman, once they had the perimeter surrounded and they had him isolated in that room, they waited. They waited 30 minutes or longer before they went in and they got him. Look, the end result was he got into one room and that's it. So whatever happened, whether it was by his decision or the police or whatever, that was a blessing. And it's impossible to call any of this a blessing. But it was a blessing that he wasn't running wild and looking for more. But while the left couldn't wait for any of this, they go and make it political. We hear Joe Biden making gun control comments from the White House. Not helpful. Joe Biden had a news conference on Wednesday about police reform. Police reform after these heroic Border Patrol agents, police, sheriff's department, and all of these people surrounded this building and took the gunman out. He's talking about police reform because it's the 2-year anniversary of George Floyd's death. I don't think it was the 2-year anniversary of the incident. I think it was the 2-year anniversary of his death. Barack Obama should just go away. He goes on Twitter and compares the school shooting to George Floyd. Folks, this is so dangerous for our society. This is simply to gin up votes in November from Black Americans. That's all this is. In the middle of the Uvalde, a lot of people are talking about Beto O'Rourke. Okay, that guy, we'll get to him. But a former president and a current president, the day after this school massacre, are talking about police reform and comparing George Floyd to innocent school children being gunned down by a maniac is as unhinged as anything you can do. Here's why it's happening. The Democrats are losing the Black vote. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it's going to be a majority of Blacks are going to vote for Republicans, but it's slipping every election cycle. It's less and less and less because black Americans are figuring out that Democrats are full of crap. That it's all platitudes. It's all lip service. It's all, we care more about you, black American, than the other party does. And it's not true. And when they see an opportunity like George Floyd's anniversary of his death, they're going to capitalize on that. They want black Americans to see that. We care. We're the party that cares. Barack Obama, for anything you may have thought of him, and everybody's like, oh, we like him, he's classy, whatever, we don't like his politics, but my God, that was one of the most tone-deaf tweets I've ever seen. I've never thought of him as an idiot. I thought of him always as a political opportunist, which this fits into. But I never really thought of him as somebody who would be blinded by his political opportunity and make insanely stupid comments, yet he's done it. He's jumped the shark. Biden had a news conference on police reform. After watching this event in Texas, what American is thinking, we need to have police reform? Because part of police reform, remember, was defund the police. And part of defunding the police was get these cops out of the schools. The Democrats think the cops in schools are a threat. They're a threat to young people, to their mental health, to their state of being, that they would feel threatened by a police officer in their school. This is ridiculous. We need to educate our young people that police are good. Trust them. They will serve and protect, not the Democrats. It was Rahm Emanuel in 2011 that said the quiet part out loud. He was on, I think he was on George Stephanopoulos' show back then. Rahm Emanuel worked for Barack Obama, who was then president. And he said, never let a serious crisis go to waste. And I guess on the surface, I sort of understand and appreciate what he was saying. I don't think he meant it maliciously. And I don't think he ever anticipated there would be a day that a school shooting of 8, 9, and 10-year-olds would be compared to a drug addict, convict, resisting arrest by police, that overzealous police put a knee on the neck and the guy dies while on drugs, being compared to innocent little children in their fourth grade classroom getting shot down. I don't think that's what Rahm Emanuel meant. Maybe he did, but that this is the perfect example of how far left they have gone and how desperate they are to win elections. And they know Americans are not with them. They know Americans are not with them now. They see the polling. They know Americans are not with them in November. They know it's an uphill climb because the things that they want are crazy. They want to get rid of, first and foremost, they want to get rid of the Constitution and have a uniparty, one party. They want to be in complete control. The Democrats want to run America like so many other countries around the world are operated. And then they want to be part of that. They want America to be part of the global structure, and that's it. And so this comment by Rahm Emanuel 11 years ago has morphed from never let a serious crisis go to waste. It has morphed into Obama doing what he did, Biden doing what he did, and Beto O'Rourke doing what he did. Beto O'Rourke, you can almost, you know, flick it away like a fly on your picnic table and say, well, that's Beto O'Rourke. He's nutty. He knows he's losing the gubernatorial election in Texas. And he's trying to grandstand and, you know, it's a Hail Mary and maybe I'll gain attention. And if nothing else, I'll be a CNN correspondent someday. I don't know what. But you have to ask yourself, you know, the deeper questions and the deeper meanings of all this stuff is you have to ask yourself, what kind of a human being goes to the news conference in a community that's grieving like Uvalde, Texas, with the officials, the local officials, the mayor, the chief of police, the sheriff, the governor from the state, all of the people are there. They're updating the public on new information of what they have learned. They're helping the community understand. There are members in the audience, family members of those who died. Beto O'Rourke goes out of his way to do what? This is how bad they are. He had seat holders. Do you know what a seat holder is? A seat holder, if you're a professional seat holder like at the Oscars, they don't ever want the camera to show an empty seat anywhere. So they'll have like a black dude seat holder, a white woman, different ages, whatever. If Denzel Washington gets up to go to the bathroom at the Oscars during a commercial break, a black dude in a tux sits in his seat. So when they come back from break, if Denzel isn't back, it shows the seat is occupied. Doesn't look like somebody's missing. Well, this was the same way. They were going to have a news conference. You were going in to get seats. Beto O'Rourke had hired staffers be his seat holder. So when it started, he could just come in and sit in that seat and wait for the right moment to just jump up and do what he did. This was completely premeditated. It was a stunt. And you really have to ask yourself about these people. Because regardless of what you ever think about politics, and I get concerned that there may be some people on the right, maybe a Marjorie Taylor Greene or somebody like that, that would do something like this because they seem a little overzealous about the cause. The cause is important. The cause is not most important. Respecting fellow Americans is most important. Grieving with that community is really important for now. Not that you can help them, not that you can do anything about it, but it is not the time for some political stunt in a governor's race. And I just ask myself, what kind of a human being does that in that setting? And I'm a brash guy. I've busted into news conferences before. I've asked questions of people, but never over something like this. There's something really wrong with them. When you look at the trio, the three people that I'm talking about, Beto O'Rourke, what he did, the publicity stunt, Joe Biden announcing police reform, which most Americans hear police reform and they think bad for police. That, honestly, if you just poll people, what do you think about police reform? Is it good or bad if you're a police officer? And they'll say, well, that's bad. That's defunding the police. That's making the police smaller. That's too much red tape, too much oversight, less ability to do your job. And then you have Obama out there comparing Uvalde, Texas to George Floyd. And you just cannot even imagine how sick these people are for something that is so less important than the safety of our school children. And as I was in that group with Olathe Rotary, all I felt from everybody in the room was we want to help. We want to do something. We don't want this to ever happen again. What can we do? What concession can I make as a conservative? What can I do? And the reason conservatives don't want to concede is because they don't see anybody on the left that's willing to say, I'll help too. I'll cede this point and we'll move forward. Let's work together. We don't see that anywhere. We're talking about school children, for God's sake. It's really disheartening. The tragedy and the death is unspeakable. We have more violence than ever all over. I almost feel sick and sad and stupid and guilty for saying over the last few weeks that this is going to be some kind of violent summer, but it's obvious that it is going to be that way. Eric Swalwell, Democrat politician, said these school shootings are by design. This is what the Republicans want. It's by design. This is the stuff they say in the very soon aftermath. An Amazon driver in Oklahoma on Wednesday jumped from his moving van when somebody threw a grenade into his van. He was slightly injured. The van rolled down the road and came to a stop, and then he gathered himself and thought, wow, I got to go get that grenade. Who thinks like this? I got to get that grenade out of the truck. And he went there and apparently did it. Authorities came, the bomb squad, everybody else, and it was learned that it was an inert grenade, which means it's a fake. It's the tactical kind, the fake kind you use to train people how to pull the pin and throw them. Somebody tossed a fake grenade into a moving Amazon van. These stories, just one after another. I can't believe this is where we are and how selfish individuals are, especially the Democrats. There's guilt on the right. There's all kinds of political blowback now and fight back. The right is fighting back. There's no question this is now political. The right is involved. We got sucked into this thing. Every politician everywhere is stepping in, saying it isn't about guns. Let's do one entrance. I'm guilty of this. I did it on yesterday's podcast. One entrance would be a great idea. There's all kinds of security things we can do. I don't mind putting more restrictions on gun buying. You can wait. It can wait. It can wait. Getting an AR-15 style rifle can wait. Dislike me if you want, but I'm okay with more regulations on these weapons. I'm cool with that. I'm okay with that. I am not okay with telling people they can't have them. I'm not. But I think we can wait. If it takes time, if it takes more vetting, if it takes a psychological interview, no problem. We put limits on what you can have. Again, I've said it before. You can't have missiles. I don't think they're going to let you have a cannon in your backyard to defend your property. Or one of those artillery machines that we see all the time. I don't think those are legal. There's a level. And we repeatedly see these types of weapons purchased and used. And we've got to do a better job figuring out who has them and why. And whether they're stable enough. What we know about the shooter is he cut his face on purpose. If that's not a cry for help, I don't know what is. He took a knife. He cut his face. He bled. He scarred himself. And people knew about it. If somebody takes a knife and cuts their face and disfigures themselves, how in the world are they not sent to a mental hospital? We were told there was no such facility in Uvalde, that you may have to drive 75 miles to the outskirts of San Antonio to find the proper help. How does a school district allow a kid to drop out of school, not live with his parents, estranged from his mom, doesn't know his dad, lives with his grandparents, cuts his face, becomes a loner, and what? I don't walk in their shoes. I don't know. You're just scared of him, so you stay away? Maybe. Maybe I do the same thing. I don't know. There has to be a way to keep this from happening at these schools, period. And I think everybody at the Olathe Rotary yesterday was in agreement with that. And while it was a very conservative audience I was speaking to, there were plenty there that were not conservative. And they believe the same thing. They just want the best for our children. This is the one thing we can all agree on. We don't want our children to be harmed. But immediately turning this into some sort of a Second Amendment gun rights thing and political stunts at events, it's sickening. It's just sickening. It is just absolutely, it's beyond anything I've ever seen. We have had, I think it's worth noting, depending on the shooting, the media coverage is very different. The Buffalo shooting was racism. This one is gun control. The black man that took all the gasoline and guns and stuff on the subway was nothing. It just went away, other than the fact that it was New York. That story went away. It doesn't fit neatly into a box. It wasn't racism. It wasn't an AR-15 style rifle. The Asian man who shot up an Asian church doesn't fit into the narrative. That one went away. So we have had, in the last 5 weeks, we've seen four of these things. We've seen a black man in this order. Black man, white man, Asian man, Hispanic man. I'll bet they all had problems at home growing up. I'll bet they all had issues with their dad, or there was no dad there. It's not white supremacy. It is not gun control. Dude walked onto a subway with a can of gas. Gasoline. Come on. If we can't get real about trying to find out who the psychos are in our society, the real threats, or find algorithms in social media to find these people and get somebody out to their home or question neighbors, what do you see going on around here? Something. We can't stop them all. Since the beginning of time, I've said this, you can't stop them all. You can stop certain things. Okay, so we probably are in a pretty good place where we're not going to have terrorists fly airplanes into buildings again. That happened. We found the blind spot. We figured it out. That doesn't mean there won't be terrorists here doing terrible things. group of Iraqi terrorists were plotting the assassination of George W. Bush. The former president, trying to smuggle them right across the border. We're going to get in the States and we're just going to do this. You can't stop it all. If somebody's willing to die, if somebody's willing to get caught, if somebody's willing to commit suicide while doing it, you can't stop it all. You can't. But it sure would be nice if we started preventing some of them and see them, just the numbers decline. Just the numbers decline would be a wonderful thing. Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs is open this weekend. They've got a big sale going on for Memorial Day. A lot of folks love the beginning of summer and aren't going to the lake or going out of town or whatever. If you are in the market for a new vehicle, Roberts Robinson would love the opportunity and be honored to serve you and your family. They feature Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC cars, trucks, SUVs, and a lot of pre-owned inventory as well. It's all online at robertsrobinson.com. The best way to get a car now is to build it yourself. If you contact those folks at Roberts Robinson, tell them exactly what you're looking for. They'll order it straight from the factory. It'll have your name on it when it arrives. Nobody else can buy it. It is yours. It's the best way to go. It is still truck month through this weekend with GMC Sierra at Roberts Robinson. That's 0% financing just to order your new Sierra. 0% and $750 cash allowance. You will get your new vehicle well under sticker price at Roberts Robinson if you order it. When you go to dealerships right now, that maybe can't be said. These cars are going so fast on so many of these different dealership lots, they're selling for sticker or sometimes over sticker. Order your vehicle from Roberts Robinson, where you can shop, click, and drive online at robertsrobinson.com. Cross Kitchens KC. I've mentioned several times that Tim and his family have a great family-owned business in Belton, Missouri. They are true craftsmen, and they do full remodels. They'll do bathrooms. They'll do a lot of different things. Yeah, I've heard from a listener who's in the process of redoing their kitchen, and they weren't real thrilled with how it's going, and they're wanting to turn their basement into something special, but they didn't want the contractor they have doing their kitchen doing it. It has not been going well in the kitchen. They've been at this for months. They are frustrated. Their house has been shut down. They are going to redo the basement into more of a man cave, and they called Tim. And Tim came out, and they said it went great, and that's the direction they're headed because they were not happy with the people that are doing the kitchen. Tim's really good at what he does. The work is exceptional. They have a design team that will help you pick out all the colors and concepts of what you're looking for. Whether you just need new countertops or you want to bust out some walls, crosskitchenskc.com can do it for you. Call Tim, 816-898-7047. Or log on to crosskitchenskc.com. Remember, most typical kitchen jobs, once they start, they do it in 2 weeks. They're in and out of your life and leave you with a kitchen of your dreams. 360 Document Solutions, online at 360documentsolutions.com. Any business in Western Missouri or any business in the entire state of Kansas would certainly benefit from calling Mark and his team to get a complimentary analysis of all your document technology, your IT programs, complete review of your current costs, and offer you solutions that could bring real, tangible benefits to your organization. That means you save money and you're more productive. 360documentsolutions.com. 913-745-5344. As far as I know, Mark doesn't vacation much. It's a holiday weekend coming up. But I'm going to guess if you contacted him, he's around and he's working this weekend because that's he just loves his job. He just loves his business and loves working. So get a hold of Mark, 360documentsolutions.com. Okay, it's the unofficial start of summer this weekend, Memorial Day. That's fun. I always think of summer and baseball as one and the same. I think of summer in the swimming pool. I think of summer and outdoor concerts. I think of summer as vacation. We think of summer and a lot of things, but baseball certainly is one of those. And the Royals are not back home to Kauffman Stadium until Friday night, June 3rd. And then they're facing the Astros. So not to be the bearer of bad news, this is about to get worse before it gets better. I feel pretty sure in about 2 weeks, the Royals will have the worst record by far in the American League. They're at the Twins this weekend. The Twins are really good. The Royals are not. Then they go to Cleveland. Royals never win in Cleveland. Then they come home and get the Astros, one of the best teams. I just don't see an end in sight. I spent a little time at Royals.com over the past couple days. And we've officially entered into the part of the season, while it's only May, where every story is about an individual player, and every story at Royals.com is about a player that's playing well. MJ Melendez is playing well. Looks good. Bobby Witt's looking good. Oh, look at this Pasquantino down in Omaha. He had another five RBI game. They'll show you. You go to Royals.com, and what you get is highlights of Omaha games. What else do you have to know about the Kansas City Royals? You go to Royals.com right now, and you can watch Omaha highlights of a player down there that's killing it. But the Royals aren't getting rid of Santana. The Royals aren't getting rid of O'Hearn. They're not getting rid of these guys that are failing. They're not getting rid of pitchers. Oh, but that website, it'll show you the players that are doing well. Doesn't really talk much about the record. Doesn't really talk much about the season or the fan experience or any of those things. Boy, what a terrible time to be trying to build a new stadium. I kind of feel like the Royals should shut up about it for a while, because it involves public funding, which nobody has the stomach for. Nobody. Nobody wants to pay taxes for the Royals to build a new stadium right now. Nobody. The team is awful. Maybe if you blow this up, maybe you get some new people in, maybe you keep Dayton Moore as, I don't know, the president of whatever, and he can be the guy that leads the charge to build a new stadium. What a great role. He's tied into the city. He knows everybody around town. He'd be the best person to lead that. Let's get some new baseball people in. Boy, the Royals are really, really bad. I can't imagine what their record's going to look like. They're not winning many games here, folks. They're going to Minnesota. They're going to get beat. They're going to Cleveland to get beat. They're coming home to play Houston to get beat. Prove me wrong. Yay, prove me wrong. You know what? I got my mom to a game in May. The Royals didn't score that game, but I got her to a game, and it was nice. She enjoyed it. I feel like as the losing continues, if I ask her to go to another game, she may not want to do that. I guess we'll see as we go forward. It is fun to go to the ballpark, but man, are they a mess. Maybe summer is just the time to get braces or Invisalign for your teenager at Fry Orthodontics. $500 off. Summer is the perfect time to get braces or start Invisalign. Your kids aren't around everybody at school. It's just their closest friends or the friends they have on their baseball team or softball team, whatever. And that's the best way to do it. Right now, start. Get that consultation and get going with Fry Orthodontics. It is the perfect time. Your first appointment is always free. If you mention Kevin Keatsman has issues, it saves you $500 off your complete treatment for new customers, new patients. You'll have fewer appointments, less time missed, less painful, and better hygiene at Fry Orthodontics. That's their guarantee to you. Dr. Jeremy is just a, man, this is really a solid business. They really, really make it more fun than you think to do this. And creating that perfect smile for life is a wonderful gift for your child. Log on to fryorthodontics.com. Back 9 Development, a custom home builder in Kansas City, Lawrence, Topeka, Manhattan, St. Joe, you name it. They'll go where you are and build you the home of your dreams. Custom homes with really exceptional high-end, high-efficiency products in the home. To save money over the long haul and create a home that lasts forever. Log on to back9development.com to see more. You can see their entire portfolio. Or call TJ and say, TJ, I want to meet. Let's just see what this is all about. Let's see if we might be a fit for each other. 785-236-0161 for back9development.com. And amazinggaragefloors.net. John Hutchins and his family-owned business will get you a brand-new garage, gorgeous epoxy garage, or they'll seal your driveway and sidewalks to help your concrete outside last longer. Call Hutch at 913-901-7139 or log on to amazinggaragefloors.net. Remember John Gruden was the coach of the Raiders until he wasn't? John Gruden was coach of the Raiders, and then some emails came out where he called Roger Goodell the P word, I think, is what he called him. Oh, he called him the F word that you can't use anymore, mentioning a homosexual. He called him that. Oh, he called Biden the P word. Okay. He called Biden the P word, and he was lost his mind and something in emails. And so then they leaked these on Gruden, and they wanted him out, and they canceled him. And he got fired, and he's been suing the NFL. He won two big court decisions this week. The NFL trying to get the case thrown out or force arbitration, and the judge says, hell no, on both counts. Okay? No. This is not right. These are emails that belongs to the teams and the league and the coach, and you leaked them to the media. There's a disclaimer at the bottom of every one of these emails, and it does say it's the property of the business. Not a lawyer here, but I've seen enough emails to say it's the property of the Las Vegas Raiders or the National Football League or whatever. So maybe that wins in court. Maybe that's what they're thinking. Here's what the NFL cannot have. The NFL cannot have a trial. And Gruden knows it. Now, there's all kinds of word out there that he's very excited with what the judge just said. Remember, John Gruden has a net worth probably at least of $100 million, maybe more. This guy doesn't need another penny the rest of his life. If the NFL says, we'll settle with you for $20 million, maybe he takes the money. I don't know. I wouldn't. If I had his money, there's no way I'd settle this case. I'd say, let's get my lawyers on this. Let's go to trial. Let's find some of your emails and see what you said about me in discovery. Let's find out if you've scrubbed computers. Let's find out if you've targeted the Washington Redskins. Let's find out exactly what the NFL is doing. Let's find out if the NFL has favorites. How about this? Let's find out why there's never been any information leaked about what happened at Arrowhead Stadium when a coach got drunk and almost killed a little girl. How is that story private, but calling Roger Goodell a name is not? How do they go after the Redskins because they don't like the owner and never have? How do they go after the Redskins, force a name change, basically accuse him of all kinds of sexual misconduct? Why do they target that team? Is it because that team's in Washington, D.C.? Why did they target that team? How did Gruden get caught up in that? How does little old Kansas City sit out there and nothing happens when they break every conceivable NFL rule by throwing a rager at Arrowhead? A coach gets drunk at work, smashes into a car, and nothing. If I'm the lawyers for John Gruden, I want to know, how does the NFL work? Do they target people? Do they single people out? This is complicated because John Gruden and Andy Reid are friends, but I can promise you this, John Gruden knows exactly what happened at Arrowhead that night. He knows everything that happened. He does. And if I'm John Gruden, I'm sitting here thinking, really? I called some guys' names in emails and lost all this over that? And the Chiefs break every rule in the book, throwing a rager with bourbon and scotch and everything for the coaches. Coach gets in his car, slams into a car and almost kills a kid, and nothing comes of it. Not one word from the NFL on the incident. It has just died on the vine. It's just been ignored. I don't know what John Gruden's up to. I'll tell you what I hope. I hope he goes to trial. If he goes to trial, dozens of people stand to be exposed, including the commissioner, maybe some owners, maybe some other coaches or executives. John Gruden, if he feels like he's blackballed and done at this point, and the rest of his life he's just going to live with his money and go live his life in privacy, if that's what he believes, why not take it down with you? Why not show the whole world? He knows. John Gruden knows every rotten thing the NFL has done. He knows. This is one dangerous dude for the NFL because he has so much money he may not settle. What was they used to say about Walmart? Walmart famously would not settle lawsuits. I think they have now. But they would famously not settle lawsuits. They just thought, well, this will take so long. We have so much more money than you. We'll do this. Well, that's not the case here. That's not the case. They can outspend John Gruden. I don't think John Gruden wants to spend $10 million on his defense. But he could probably find some lawyers that'll do it for a piece, for a percentage of what he could win or settle for and not spend a nickel. This is very underreported. This is going to be a big deal. I don't see John Gruden as the kind of guy that's just going to settle for a check. I think if he does, he's done. I think that's it. I think he's just done. And what would be the point of that? I think I'd go try to expose the league for its hypocrisy. Roger Goodell's not a popular figure. I think I'd go after him. I think I'd do all those things. This weekend is the Indianapolis 500. I love the Indy 500. I used to watch it religiously. Now I'm usually doing something else when it occurs, but I follow it on my phone and whatnot, and I love going back and watching the highlights. I've had a lot of really drivers that I love through the years, all the way back to a guy named Gordon John Cock. My brother used to love a driver named Danny Ongais. We used to just love the Indy 500. And not just because of A.J. Foyt or Rick Mears or some of the great drivers that have won multiple Indies. As the Indy 500 became less of the spectacle, although it's still a major deal, I still followed it, and I still liked it, and I had favorite drivers. For the last two decades, my favorite driver has been Elio Castroneves. He won back-to-back Indies 20 years ago. He has four. He's trying to win a fifth. He's not a young driver, but he's got a good car, and he can still drive. I'm fascinated by watching him chase history. I find him to be an engaging, likable guy. I think most people like him. He's photogenic. He's great for the sport. It is almost beyond comprehension how Elio Castroneves is not a bigger star than he is, although he's probably a much bigger star outside of America than he is inside America. I'll be rooting for him. He'll be a factor. If he makes it the full 500, he'll be right there. He'll have a chance to win. I can promise you that. And we'll see if he can go get another Indy 500. We'll do more on that on Friday on KKHI. B-Stock's got a Memorial Day sale going on this weekend. ASUS Computers. ASUS. That's ASUS. It's pronounced ASUS, like Dr. Seuss. These are exceptional laptops with Windows 10 professional operating systems, 10th generation Intel chip-powered laptop, basically half price. Brand new, sealed in the box, ASUS laptops, $739. Load up on them, no limit, as long as they last. They're not the biggest name in the industry. The materials and the quality are the same, and you get an unbelievable, basically about a $1,500 laptop here for $739 at bstock.net. They also have a great selection of Sony televisions and Samsungs in stock right now. They're at 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe. They're open on Friday and Saturday. Go check them out this Memorial Day weekend. And the Bluemont Hotel in Goolsbees in Manhattan. The Bluemont Hotel is a great business hotel, locally owned and operated, not a sterile, impersonal franchise. They have live music every week. JJ's the general manager there. She knows your name and remembers your name. If you do business in Manhattan at the NBAT facility or with the school, or you stay a couple nights while you're working there, or if you have a ball team that's headed there this summer for an event, soccer, baseball, softball, t-ball, whatever it may be, go to Manhattan for a big tournament. They have a lot of big sporting events throughout the summer. Take your team there. They're going to love it. There's all kinds of places right off the campus and across the street to take your family. And the best place is right next door. It's Goolsbee's Restaurant and Indoor Entertainment Center. Kids will love it, and you'll love it. 30 beer taps on the wall. You pour your own at Goolsbee's. It's really cool. If you live in Manhattan, got to get there. We got a lot of listeners in Manhattan. Go to Goolsbee's. Check it out. You've heard about it. If you haven't been, go check it out. Goolsbee's Restaurant and Indoor Entertainment Center. Right between, it's the corner of, it's Bluemont, Aggieville, and Campus. There it is in Manhattan. And we finished with Pepsi dropping the Super Bowl halftime show. Pepsi has decided, that's enough. We're not doing the halftime show anymore. Now, I'm older, so this probably isn't the reason, but I would say I'd drop it too if I were Pepsi because the halftime shows suck now. I don't remember the last good halftime show. Might have been Bruno Mars. But I remember watching Tom Petty and Bruce Springsteen and even Madonna and some people back in the day. I'm like, I think U2 maybe did it one year. Like, those are all big, giant bands and spectacle. And now, like, they had The Weeknd a couple of years ago, and he got lost. He got lost in some tunnel. He was running around the stadium in a tunnel and got lost singing this song. And I was like, what is this? Some sort of an all-star rap tribute this last year. Not my thing. Not that other people didn't love it. There were plenty of people that loved it. If I were Pepsi, I'd simply drop it and say, well, that sort of entertainment isn't what it used to be. It just isn't as big. It's not as big as the previous bands and stuff. It just isn't. It all seems commercialized and fake and whatever. That's not the reason they say they're doing it. They're shifting all their NFL dollars to a new Gatorade product that's coming out. And I don't know whether it's a product or a flavor, but apparently this season during the NFL, they will not be advertising Pepsi. They'll be advertising Gatorade. And all of their Super Bowl halftime money is going into that. No announcement yet on who the new sponsor will be. My guess is it will be Amazon. That's my guess. Why wouldn't it be? They're jumping into the NFL foray. They have all the money in the world. Heck, it might be part of their deal for the Thursday night games. Who knows? Why wouldn't Amazon be the perfect sponsor? Order all your music, all your everything on Amazon. It's too easy. The NFL will have no trouble finding a halftime show sponsor now that Pepsi is shifting their dollars. Thanks for bearing with me on KKHI. I'm fighting a cold this week. Been a little brutal. I'm like a lot of guys. They say that if men had to give birth, that the human race would not exist. That may be true. Although I feel like most of the time I feel so good so often that when I have a little something wrong with me, that it's so out of whack for me because I usually don't get sick. And I don't know what this is. It's just a cold. It's not a big deal. But it makes it difficult to broadcast. You know, your nose gets stuffed up a little bit and your throat and all that stuff. So appreciate you bearing through it this week with me. And love that you're here. We'll do another podcast on Friday. If you'd like to become a patron, we'd love to have you on board. We'll do a patron podcast on Thursday as well. We'll do the newsletter. Newsletter will probably be out on Friday. Then no new podcast on Monday. We're going to take Monday off for the holiday. We'll be back in business on Tuesday. But we would love to have you sign up as a patron. You can get the Memorial Day newsletter. Go to kksissues.com, click on Become a Patron. It's very simple. You just click the button, sign up, takes less than 5 minutes. And for $5 a month, you get the bonus podcast every week and the newsletter on the weekends. It'd be my honor to serve you as a patron of KKHI, and we'll chat with you tomorrow right here. Don't forget to tell your friends that your old buddy Kevin Keatsman has issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.